Today we have a special treat. Pastor Gary is off enjoying vacation with his family, and I am so thrilled to welcome, I'm going to introduce you first, and then I'll call you up, John Marsden to this stage. Yes, I know. You can come up, John, if you want, so then you can cut me off. John and his lovely wife, Sue, are really special here at Mercy. I've had the privilege of knowing them for many years and have been very much mother and father figures in my life. But for those of you who don't know, John and Sue planted River Heights Vineyard in 1990, which is in Inner Grove Heights, pastored that until about 2019. And then John actually served as Mercy Vineyard's interim pastor from 2019 to March 2021. So nothing really happened during that time, right, John? Right? Just, you know, a global pandemic and things like that. And we are just so grateful for his heart for Mercy, for his love, for the kindness he shared. And we're just so grateful to have him back. And if those of you who know John, they have 6 kids, almost 13 grandkids. And I noticed you're wearing it. I have to say this, an avid Minnesota Twins fan. So yes. I'm going to give it to John. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is just a wonderful experience for me to be back with you. I felt like this was one of the highlights of my life, serving Jesus with you in the almost 2 years that I was here. I learned so much. I grew so much. I still remember the first day I walked in the door, and I felt like God said, this is going to be really good for Mercy, but I want to tell you something. It's going to be really good for you. And I think that's just the way God is. He's got enough for all of us, more than enough. And what he calls us to, it's always, you know, good for other people. That's our goal. We're going to serve them and help them draw closer to Jesus, grow up in Christ. But it's also good for us. And I'm going to talk more about that this morning. When Gary texted me and said, hey, are you available? Are you interested in coming on August 21? I said, Yes, I'm both. And so he said that you're in a series called Empowered. And he said that he wanted me to talk about being empowered to serve. And I said, well, that's awesome. I'm glad to do that. Because, you know, I think learning to serve Jesus and other people has changed my life more than anything else. And I am thankful for the opportunity I had here. I'm thankful for each one of you. You know, I was thinking today as I drove here, I often think of you like Paul to the Philippians, and you read chapter 1. He says, every time I think about you, I pray with great joy for you, and I thank God for you. And I'm confident that God, who's begun a good work in you, is going to continue his work until Jesus returns. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's for you personally. It's for you as a whole community. So as I talk about being empowered to serve, first, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you who have been serving for so many years. Thank you for those that are serving right now. Thank you, Garrett, for stepping up and leading this morning with your team. You did a great job. I appreciate your heart. And I want to say to those of you that are new, that like I don't recognize as I look out there, thank you for coming. If you're exploring and trying to sort out, well, what kind of community do I fit in, I'm just going to give you my totally unbiased report. This is a great place. They will love you. They will welcome you. They will encourage you. They'll challenge you. And I discover I need all of that to live a really good life. I experienced all of that here, and I believe you will too. Now, as I mentioned, I think I have been changed through serving more than anything else. It was interesting, yesterday Sue and I were at a wedding at what's now called South Metro Vineyard Church in Burnsville, and that was a church that we went and visited totally on a courtesy visit. We had 3 kids that were 2 and under at the time. So the only place we could get to that we were going to check out on time was Burnsville. And I don't like being late. Sometimes I am. I don't like it. But we could never slide quietly into any room with 3 kids under 2 and a double twin stroller. So I said, the only place we can get to is Burnsville. We're just going to go once and never return. Let's just get it out of the way. great man of faith that I am, you know. So we get there, and there's 20 people in a community room, and R5 increased the church 25% right then. And God had spoken to us that he was doing things in our lives and that he wanted us to get involved with the church at the ground floor. That's a whole wonderful, funny first Sunday there. But the lead pastor just really cared for us, and I would go to lunch with him almost every week, and we'd just talk about life and faith and following Jesus. I was in business at the time, running a bookstore in Burnsville. And God had called us to be part of that church, and we were there for 10 years and on staff for 7, and they sent us with blessing to plant River Heights, all out of a courtesy visit. So I don't know if you're making any courtesy visits today, but you just never know what God might do in your life. So it was in that context that Sue and I grew up. I remember I was 29 years old at the time. That's 43 years ago, and I do the math, you know where I am now. But we learned to follow Jesus in that community. We learned to love each other as a husband and wife and raise our kids and help our kids come to love Jesus there. They came to Jesus in that church. And we had so many wonderful opportunities. I remember after we began to come, Sue looked at me with her knowing look and said, we should serve in the kids' ministry. I said, yes, why? Because we have kids, and they need care. Actually, we had half the kids in the whole church when we first came there. So we did. I still remember carrying this little ratty little suitcase with all the toys every time we met at the school. So we started there. I have learned so much about serving from my wonderful wife, Sue. And in 1 month from today, we'll have been married 47 years. It's awesome. So we were given so many opportunities to serve. I was given an opportunity to teach and preach regularly. I led a ministry to men. Sue and I led a ministry together to like a college and career age, people just out of high school, kind of trying to find their way in the world. I had the privilege of serving on the church council, which was a privilege. I know some of you say, oh, that's a privilege. It is. It was a great privilege. Opportunity to ask good questions, give input, pray, have influence. And here's a funny story. I even led the worship team for 1 year. It happened this way. We had two couples who were leading worship in Burnsville, and they both left the church the same weekend. Now, one was planned, and we all knew, and was great. One, they just got upset about something. You know, you can actually get upset at church. Does anybody ever know that? They got upset. I don't even know what it was about. And they left. So we had nobody. And so we borrowed a worship leader for a couple weeks, and I just joined staff, and so I was praying one day in my office for the worship, for like a worship leader, and the worship would grow and develop, and I felt like God said, you can sing on key, you love worship, you're a pretty good recruiter, I want you to lead the worship team, to which I responded with all the great faith, what? I had never, he said, plus your mom would love it. My mom had this like world-class voice, which she always kind of was sad that none of her kids got her voice. But anyway, we were close. We could all sing. But anyway, so I go to the lead pastor and I say, I've been praying about worship. Oh, I am too. What are we going to do? And I said, well, I don't know what we're going to do, but this is what I think God said to me. He looks at me with a bewildered look and he says, could I pray about that? I said, absolutely. You can pray forever. I'm busy. I don't need to do this. And a week later, he walks into my office with an even more bewildered look. I prayed. I think God said, yes, do it. So I did. It was an amazing experience. I learned so much. By the end of that year, we had three teams that were leading in the church, and the Lord, just like a light switch, said, you're done. You did what I asked. That assignment's completed. That challenged me so much. And this is one thing I've learned about serving. I'm going to pass on to you. Jesus has always asked more of me than I thought I had. He's always pulled me into more ministry. Coming to Mercy as an interim pastor, I had never done that before. Yes, I'd pastored, but I'd never like worked with a church that was going through a pretty significant crisis. And God bless you. You've walked through that. Now you're continuing to walk together. And God bless you. So Jesus, my experience, will ask more of you than you think you have, but he will give you way more than you can ever imagine. So just put that in your mind. So we're going to talk about serving today. God wants to change your life through serving. He wants to change the lives of other people through serving. He wants to change the world through you as you serve him. I am grateful that through serving, I became a more patient person, a more kind person. Now I need to grow in both of those things for the rest of my life. But I grew. I learned to be a better listener. I learned how to pray. I learned how to serve and lead. All because the Holy Spirit was leading and empowering me to do those things, and because good people like you were encouraging and praying for me. So can I encourage you to do that with each other? You already are. I just want to urge you to do it more and more and more. When you see somebody stepping out to serve, encourage them, pray for them, cheer them on, support them in every way that you can, because the whole group will benefit. So today I want to talk about three things: why we serve, how we serve, and what happens when we serve. So to begin with, let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your mercy to us here at Mercy Vineyard. We thank you for your great, great love, as we sang about, that in your love, you give us everything we need: forgiveness, freedom, new life. And then you recruit us, and you give us gifts to serve you, to serve others, to serve this world that you so love. We thank you that we can be doing the things you did by your power and grace and mercy. And so I pray today, even as we're gathered here, that we will experience more of the wonderful work of your Spirit. And Lord, I have a sense that you're going to be speaking to each one in different ways. Some you're going to put new thoughts in their minds of ways they can serve, whether it's here at Mercy or in the community or at their work or family or neighborhood. And I pray, Lord, you'd give them ears to hear those things and faith to believe what you're saying to them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we serve? I believe that we serve because we're designed and created by God to serve. You'll see this up on the screen. Genesis 1:26 says, God is speaking to Father, Son, Holy Spirit speaking together. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us, and they will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God's original plan for us humans is that we would serve him, and I'm going to use language here that Peter in the New Testament uses, as his royal priests. And we'll unpack that. Representing him here on earth and ruling over, developing, caring for all creation. But sadly, if you read in the early chapters of Genesis, we were deceived by evil. And we rebelled against God's good plan for our lives, and we were exiled, and we forfeited our calling. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. God promised a descendant who would come and restore us to our original calling by offering his own life as a sacrifice for our sins. That person is Jesus, our great high priest. So I want us to look at a short video from the Bible Project. That's my new shiny toy of understanding the Bible. I have so benefited this year from watching videos and learning, listening to blogs and reading blogs and listening to posts and so on from the Bible Project. So this is going to be about our calling to serve God as his royal priest. So let's take a look at the video.
The Bible introduces humanity as God's royal priests, ruling with God in Eden, a place full of life and abundance and God's blessing.
But humanity was deceived by evil and then exiled from Eden. And so humans forfeited their calling as the royal priesthood.
But God promised that one of their descendants would be an even better priest who will defeat evil and intervene on their behalf to restore the blessings of Eden.
This descendant would be a royal priest like Melchizedek that Abraham met in Jerusalem, and also like Moses and the priestly figure he saw on Mount Sinai. This descendant will also be like David and the priest king that David called my Lord in Psalm 110. And all of these figures lead us to Jesus, the ultimate royal priest who suffered and died for a failed humanity so that they could be restored to their original calling as royal priests.
About a month after the resurrection of Jesus, his disciples see him ascend into the skies.
Yeah, this was the fulfillment of Israel's hopes and of the story of Jesus. He was exalted into the heavenly temple of God's presence and installed there as the cosmic royal priest.
Now, Jesus also told his followers to wait for God's presence to come and guide them into the future.
And so during Pentecost, a festival in Jerusalem, God's Spirit comes down on them like they're each mini temples who are filled with God's presence.
Mini temples?
Yeah, just like God took up residence in the tabernacle and later the temple, now God dwells among the followers of Jesus, and their bodies are the temple. The Apostle Peter, who was there that day, later put it this way: "You all are living stones, built up as a spiritual house. You all are a royal priesthood."
So they are altogether God's temple.
And they're also the priests, reclaiming that lost calling that God gave humanity to represent him and to rule the world on his behalf. The Spirit is restoring the life and blessing of Eden to the people of Jesus.
But these people aren't priests. They're merchants and fishermen, soldiers and slaves, tax collectors and the poor. They work in the world and not in temples.
And yet, they talked and behaved as if they were priests. They believed Jesus was the cosmic royal priest, ruling all of heaven and earth as his temple, and they saw themselves as an extension of Jesus here on earth, that is, the body of the Messiah.
That's a beautiful image, but what does it actually look like?
Well, if you went to the temple in Jerusalem, you would hear the priestly choirs singing poetry that honored God and that told the story of his love. Music was a bridge between heaven and earth.
Also, the followers of Jesus started writing and singing new songs about Jesus as part of their priestly calling.
Right. Priests also surrendered everything over to God through their sacrifices. And so, followers of Jesus started giving themselves their time and their money and energy to serve those in need. And they said, "These are the sacrifices that bring pleasure to God."
Priests also intercede on behalf of others through blessings and prayers, advocating for the needs of everyone.
Yeah, this is why the Apostle Paul called on the Christians living in Rome to all together offer their bodies as one single living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Yeah, Jesus offered his life in the ultimate act of love. And so they too were to surrender themselves to each other and to those who needed their help. This is the royal priesthood, Jesus style.
When people imitate Jesus, the royal priest, they become a new humanity, living in a way that reunites heaven and earth.
Exactly. And now you can see how the whole Bible is one unified story about a royal priestly humanity that lost its way.
But then how God promised to raise up a priest who would give his life to restore us.
And then how the stories of Abraham and Moses and David all point forward to a promised priest king.
And how this all led to Jesus, our great high priest, who suffered on our behalf to restore us to our calling.
And so this is why, on the final pages of the Bible, there's a vision of a renewed and reunited heaven and earth with humans serving and ruling as God's royal priests forever.
I hope you enjoyed that. I think I probably watched that about a dozen times because I'm a slow learner, but I'm persistent. And so I would encourage you, a tremendous resource, thebibleproject.com, all kinds of videos and posts, things that can really help you see how the Bible is one unified story that leads us to Jesus. So you and I are called to be God's royal priests. That means we have an authority, means we're called to represent God wherever we go, with everyone we're with, and we have the privilege of ruling and caring for and leading under God's authority wherever we are. So that means in your family. That means at work. That means in your neighborhood. It means at school. School's starting soon, right? Some of you would like it to start even maybe sooner, but school starting soon, or government, wherever we may be, we serve as priests right here at Mercy Vineyard as well. So I'm so glad that Jesus came to restore you and I to our original calling. Again, 1 Peter 2:5-9 says this: You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. You and I individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. Together, we are a temple. Now, interesting, being made in God's image. If you would go into a temple in the ancient world, you would see images made of stone or wood or so on that would represent the God. But in the Bible, God says, don't make any images about me. Why? Because he's making the images, you. Wherever you and I go, we are to reflect the goodness of God into the situations we find ourselves. What's more, you're as holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices to please God. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have the privilege of representing God in all that we do, everywhere that we go. Now, even in the video, they said, well, how in the world do I do that? I'm just an ordinary person with an ordinary job, and I am often a broken person with many flaws. Well, thankfully, Jesus is our model, and he came and did all his work in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38. Peter summarizes, he says, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he simply and profoundly went around doing good everywhere he went. And then he sent the same Holy Spirit to empower you and I to do this. And he told us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So you and I have the tremendous privilege of sharing how Jesus is changing our lives. I remember when I was going to college as a very confused college student, and my older sister had come to faith in Jesus and began to talk to me about Jesus. She did so many things well. She talked a little bit, and then she'd be quiet. That's not an easy thing to do, especially if you're the older sister and you know your brother's in trouble and he needs all the help in the world, and I was that guy. But then she introduced me to her friends, which was also wonderful. And I just would hang out with her friends and would watch how they would do school and life. And I liked them. And I thought, they're like better people than I am. And could I be a better person? And eventually they talked about how Jesus was changing their life, that they were in process as I was. And so I came to Jesus through their love and goodness. They served me. They served Jesus, they served me. Now, why do we serve? We serve because Jesus served us first, and then he's called us to serve. You know that serving is good for others, it honors God, it shows his goodness, and it's good for you. Here are four things that serving is good for you. I got these from Rich Nathan in the Columbus Vineyard. Number one, serving will increase good self-confidence. If you do good for others, here or in your community, you can experience a natural sense of accomplishment. Now, I learned this with raising kids, that it was important that we gave our kids jobs and helped them do them well because they felt so much better about themselves when they had actually accomplished something. Well, God wants that for his kids. Serving combats depression. One risk factor for depression is isolation. We all experienced that during the pandemic, didn't we? One of the biggest challenges. But if you serve somewhere with maybe a ministry team, you then have regular contact with other people, and you can develop a solid support system. Serving helps you stay physically healthy. Volunteering is good at any age, but it is especially beneficial for older adults. Yay, I am one of those now. Studies have found that those who volunteer have a lower mortality rate. Volunteering has been shown to lessen symptoms of chronic pain or heart disease. For serving makes us happy. There's a study that was published in the Journal of Social Sciences and Medicine that said, excuse me, compared with people who never volunteered, the odds of being very happy rose 7% if you volunteered once a month, 12% if you volunteered every 2 weeks, 16% of the people felt very happy if they volunteered weekly, a hike in happiness that was comparable to having an income of 75 to 100,000 versus 20,000. In other words, serving others will give people a happiness boost that's comparable from moving to maybe a poverty line income to a middle or upper class income. So we serve because God made us to serve, and he wants to change the world through us, and he wants to change us. Well, how? I would say the first thing I want to encourage you is how do we serve? It's first, let Jesus serve you. Now, you already have by coming to him and receiving forgiveness and a new life and so on, but I'm talking about every time you step into serving. Like when I came this morning, I prayed, Lord, would you meet me? Would you come and fill me? Give me what I need to serve my friends at Mercy. Isaiah 64:4 says this, since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. A lot of times at church, we feel like we're working for God. God needs stuff done. We need to do stuff. This verse turns it around. It says, God has come to work for you and I as we wait for him. And then he empowers us to do the work he's called us to do wherever we are. And he gives us all the gifts we need. Early on in that Burnsville church experience, one Saturday morning, there were a bunch of us meeting and praying, and a fellow from England who was had a ministry, preaching and healing ministry, was in the group, and he looks at me and he says, I feel like God wants to stir up prophecy in your church. He's going to start with someone. I think he's going to start with you, John. And I said, what? Why does he all start with me? Come on. And he says, I think you're going to start getting insights and words from God periodically. And I said, well, what do I do? He says, just receive them and follow God. So what I discovered was when I would come to serve other people, whether it was a small group or individually by praying, that's when those words would come. Why? Because God loves people and he knows more about people than I do. And so he wants to share that love and insight. And so I would encourage you, if you want to see spiritual gifts operating in your life more and more and more, step into serving. That's what they're for. That's where you'll experience them more and more and more. Now, in the video, I mentioned three things that we do as royal priests. We worship, and we sing songs. We write songs. We worship with singing, and we worship with our whole lives. Paul says, give your whole body to God because of all he's done for you. So we worship. And then we surrender our resources, our time, our energy, our money. We're going to do that in a few minutes here. Hebrews 13:15-16 says, Therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Don't forget to do good, to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. You know, God loves to bless you and free you, resource you, and help you become generous like he is, more and more and more and more. And so part of being a royal priest is, Lord, these are your resources. Speak to me. Guide me. We had a privilege at River Heights, it's 3 or 4 weeks ago, of having a soccer team from the Ukraine that was here. And Peter Waller from Source Ministries had arranged it. So they came and they shared their story. And there was this one dear young girl, probably 17, 18, that was just talking about how her family's been displaced. And she's there playing soccer. And her dad is in one place, her mom's in another. And it was heartbreaking to hear their story and heartwarming to hear how they're leaning into Jesus to trust him with their lives and how they're praying for their country and how there's awakenings that are going on in their land. And so then we invited people, let's give some of our resources. And so we all had the privilege of giving as we were able. So we worship with singing and our whole lives. We surrender our resources, and then we intercede and pray for each other. We're going to be praying in a minute here for others, too, after we worship the second set. We get to serve those that are in need. And I don't know if you noticed on the video, one of the interesting things is that as you and I serve, as we worship, as we share our resources, as we pray, there's a uniting of heaven and earth. One great day, when Jesus wraps everything up, he will restore, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth fully joined. But have you experienced moments, maybe in worship this morning, maybe in some conversation or serving or praying with someone, where you just felt like heaven and earth were connected? You could experience the presence of God. Well, that's God's desire, is that heaven and earth would be united. His life would so come to you and through you into this world to restore it. So what happens when we serve? Well, people are brought to Jesus, and they're connected to his family. People receive transforming grace, or power to actually change. You know, isn't it wonderful to see your life begin to change? It was interesting, before we planted River Heights, the current Vineyard pastors gathered and prayed for Sue and I, and one of the fellows looked at me and he said, just going to say it, you have a critical spirit. And I thought, oh, great. And he said, no, it's a literal evil spirit that has tried to, I have a discerning nature. I'm able to see below the surface at times and evaluate things, but the evil one would come on that and use it negatively to be critical. Now, I didn't always say everything, because I'm Norwegian. I would keep it inside, but I had thoughts. And so here we are, we're going to plant a church. Well, that would not have been very helpful to have an evil critical spirit constantly bugging me. And so they prayed and they discerned it, and I said, can you do something about it? I'm a practical person. And they said, yes, we can get rid of it. You confess and we will pray. And so I did, and it was an amazing experience where I just felt released. Now, I've had to learn how to think, talk, manage my thoughts and words, but the power to be the stinkiest person I could be was broken. It's wonderful to be able to change. And as they shared their gifts, their insights, I changed. And we're so grateful for the changes. We get to become more like Jesus. And God's goodness is seen more and more clearly everywhere we go. Peter again says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve each other. Everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus. So how can you and I grow in serving? I would say there's a couple things you can do. You can read. You could read Romans 12, the whole chapter. You could read 1 Peter 2 and 1 Peter 4. You could pray. You could ask the Holy Spirit, show you the gifts he's given you. Show you the needs around you. They're usually connected to the things that he wants you to do. And then what can you do? Step into an area where God is leading you, where he's showing you things that need to be done. Our youngest daughter was in college years ago, and we would talk to her on the phone, and she was part of a campus ministry, and she told me one time, Dad, they don't actually pray for each other in these meetings. And I said, what do you mean? Well, they'll close in prayer. They'll play a general prayer. But I'm used to people actually praying for me. I mean, she grew up that way. And I said, well, why don't you talk to the leaders about that? Well, what do you mean? I said, just tell them your concern that you'd like to see more of this happen. Now, I knew what was going to happen. But anyway, about a week later, she said, Dad, you know what they asked me to do? I said, what? They asked me, would I lead the prayer ministry? I said, of course they did. She said, did you know that? I said, well, kind of. What? And I said, well, God's giving you a heart here for this. He's given you a passion that something more could happen. And I said, well, you know, God's going to ask, he's asking more of you than maybe you thought, but he's going to give you so much, Anna. And she led that ministry, and then now in her church in Chicago, she's been leading the prayer area for the last 4 or 5 years. And wonderful things have happened. And so many people have met and experienced the presence of God. Because she had a dad who tricked her. No, because I encouraged her to do something. So I want to encourage you, ask God, what do you have for me right now? That doesn't mean leave what you're already doing, unless he's leading you to do something. I'm just meaning, what do you have for me right now? Ephesians 2:10 says we're God's masterpiece, created in him, in Christ, to do good things that he's prepared in advance. So he has so many surprises ahead for you in your life, things he wants to do in and through you. When I got up, that's the first thing that came to me when I got up on the stage here, is that he's been talking to a bunch of you about things. He's been giving you ideas and visions, and you've kind of wondered, what is this about? What do I do here? I would say continue to talk to Jesus about it. Talk to some good friends and get some feedback, because he has things he wants to do through you that will be good for others, that will change the world and will be good for you. I'd like the worship team to come back up now, and we're going to continue to connect with God in worship. So if you guys want to come up on the stage, one of the ways, again, that we serve is through our giving. So I'd like those who are doing the ushering work, and if you could come and bring the baskets, and we can give. If you came to bring a tithe or an offering today, you can put it in the basket as it's passed along. And then these connect cards, I encourage you to, if you haven't filled one of these out yet, do it now. If you got any prayer requests, I would say put them on there. This is can be a lifeline. We can pray with you about the things that are important to you for your own life or for your friends or family or co-workers, neighbors, and then you can put them in the basket as well. So I'm going to say a prayer now, and then we're going to continue to worship. Lord, we thank you that you've called us into relationship with you. Thank you for all that you've already done for us. And thank you that you've called us to serve with you, to continue the wonderful restoring, healing, freeing, blessing work that you came to do. Even as we think of the end of the Bible, where this renewed Eden, this renewed world, new heaven, new earth, united forever, where only goodness and harmony dwell. We thank you that we're going that direction. And on the way there, we thank you that you want to change this world more and more and more. You want to change our lives more and more and more. Lord, I thank you for the gifts you've already poured out on your people here. And I ask for more. I ask that you would refresh and renew. We thank you for the privilege of giving financially, and how you want to bless others through our giving, how you want to bless us, how you want to free us, give us wisdom for how to manage all of the resources you've given us. Lord, I bless Mercy Vineyard. Lord, I thank you that your hand is on this church and on everyone who's currently part of it and everyone that you're drawing to it. I thank you for the dreams and purposes, things you want to do in the larger community through Mercy. I thank you for the wonderful blend of people who have been here for a long time and have faithfully been rooted and have served and given and loved for years and years and years and years. And I thank you for the new people you're bringing that are connecting to this community. And we pray for that wonderful blending together. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come right now. I don't know if this is the exact right order, but it's always great to pray. So if you wouldn't mind coming and being available up on the sides to pray, I just feel like God wants to encourage you and refresh you, empower you with the Spirit to do all that He's called you to do. Some of you, He's given you some big thoughts, and you've struggled with them, and you've maybe tried to like whittle them down a little bit, because His thoughts are always bigger and better. But I think He says, stop whittling. Just receive what I'm speaking to you about. I want to do wonderful things in your life. So Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You that You have everything we need to do all that You've called us to do as a community and as individuals. Pray You'd meet us as we worship now. In Jesus' name. So the baskets are going to come by. Please bring your gifts and your connection cards in them. And if you wouldn't mind standing if you're able, we're going to continue to worship.